Blog Talk Radio.
Edition of Let's Talk Fort Worth. I'm Carrie Hines, your host. Thank you for joining us for what should be another great show. A reminder, we do not own the rights to the music you just heard. Also, please click tag and share. Tell someone Let's Talk Fort Worth is on the air. And tonight, we're talking to two candidates in the upcoming city council races. We'll speak with Jason Pena, running in District 9, and W. McKinley Jackson, running in District 5. Tonight, from 7 to 8 p.m., we will speak with Jason Pena about his desire to be the next councilman in District 9. We know this district is known for having problems such as over-policing Latino residents, terrible streets, dimly lit streets, potholes, and flooding. We also know that developers have come in recent years against the wishes of the people. Libraries closing without the people's approval, and many residents say that they are underserved by their current council person. So, ladies and gentlemen, welcome Jason Pena to Let's Talk Fort Worth. Good evening, Jason. How are you?
I'm doing better than I deserve. Thank you for asking.
All right, then. All right. Jason, you know, that's a funny animal, District 9. Tell us a little bit about you and why you're running in that district.
Okay, sure, yes. My name is Jason Pena. I'm a candidate for City Council District 9, and I wanted to just thank you for everyone who's listening. Thank you, Carrie, for having me on your show and giving me an opportunity. Well, I was born and raised right here in Fort Worth, Texas. I'm a fifth-generation Tejano. I'm deep-fried, country-fried, and even refried right here. I'm married. I have four children. Me and my wife are small business owners. My kids go to public school here. And the reason I'm running is, well, first, I never thought I'd be running. I was the last guy that ever thought he'd be running. But the reason I'm running is because I saw my district was being underserved. We have a lot of forgotten streets out here. It almost looks like a third world country in some parts. When speaking to residents, they tell me that they feel forgotten, left out, especially when the decision making. I'm running because I want to bring good investments to Fort Worth. I want to clean up our streets. I want to make people proud to live here. I want to build vibrant neighborhoods. I want to bring, good, drivable, walkable roads. I'm running to bring growth with good living wage paying jobs. I'm running to bring inclusive leadership, and that means to bring your voice center of decision-making when deals are being made, transparency. A lot of decisions are being made without any consideration of the opinions from the community, and a lot of decisions are going to impact our streets. I'm running to bring vital resources. They did. They took out our library, and I didn't, from talking to people, a lot of people didn't even know, and they tried saying it wasn't busy, and it was always full. So now we have a small library inside Grand Plaza, but I also want to bring lighting to our dimly lit areas. I want to bring vital resources. And to fill in the gaps for the families and neighborhoods direly missing. I'm running because I want to lower the taxes on hardworking families. I want to cut a lot of these corporations out. They get a lot of tax cuts. I want to make it easier for small businesses to thrive, make it easier for residents to have to live out here. I want them to stay. I want to slow down the growth. And so, I noticed that we have some purple lights out here. I want to work on the infrastructure, and I have a servant's heart. So. Thank you for giving me the opportunity, and that's why I'm running.
Well, thank you for joining us. Let's unpack what you just said. First of all, tell us, for those of us who don't know, we know that we're going to, as of Election Day, see the implementation of the redistricting. So tell us, what is District 9 or what will be District 9 as of May 6th?
Okay, District 9. It's always been Berry Street, Hemp Hill, the left side, the Hemp Hill Street, and a lot of the Lapino area's neighborhood. Now it's extended all the way to Alta Mesa McCart, all the way to Sycamore School Road. That was usually District 6. And so I live in District 6, but now on May 6th, it's going to be District 9. Where I grew up at, Daggett Elementary, Pascal, went to those schools. Me and my wife both grew up over there. That's always been District 9. They kind of cut out a piece of District on Hemp Hill Street. They cut a piece out, and they're making it District 11. So it's a map that we call gerrymandering where I come from, and it's really confusing. But it's my new map, and I'm going to make it work.
Wow. So based on the redistricting, do you feel like it was a good thing? Do you think it was fairly done? Or?
If you ask the community, they didn't want it to happen. But they said they wanted to add this new district to give, a minority a voice. But I feel like it was actually just to take away power, and that's my opinion. But it worked out for me, and I'm going to make it work. You know, it's just like there's parts of Bittison that are District 11. It's like squares that are cut out of this district. It's really confusing. But I always try to tell people, if you're confused, you can go to this website called One Address, FortWorth.gov, and you can put your address in there. But I don't think it helped. I think that the city's been making decisions that really haven't been helping the community, and I don't feel like they've been really listening to the residents of Fort Worth.
Okay. Let's go back to some of the things that you said in your opening. Let's talk about that library that I didn't know it was even closed. The last public comment past Tuesday. Tell us about what happened with the library and the fact that did your council person inform anyone in the district that it was happening, or what was the situation?
Well, they say they do, but maybe they do the minimum, because I've talked to all the residents around there, and you can also see on YouTube, you Google about the Fort Worth Library, you'll see residents didn't know about it, and the reason they're saying that it wasn't busy, and the way I found out is that I drove by and it was gone. And someone said, yeah, they said they put the library now inside Grand Plaza, inside the mall on the bottom, and there's two kiosks. And to me, it's just a slap in the face. We hardly have anything for us, and now you took our library. A lot of these decisions, they don't make sense. I'm trying to make it make sense for me, but some of these people, they might not even know how to use a computer very well. What happened to our library? What happened to our books? And maybe they are putting a display somewhere conspicuous, just where you really don't know what's there. Maybe they put it on the internet. You find out 2 weeks it's going to be on the agenda. I don't feel like the city is being transparent, because everyone I speak to, they had no idea. It's kind of like how the city just purchased 14 acres of this Carroll Housing, these dorm homes that used to be owned by the seminary school right here off the seminary in the neighborhood, and nobody knew. I went down McCarty, and it's right by two schools. One school is right behind it, and there's another school, Applied Learning Academy, on the right of it, and. Mm-hmm. They plan on closing this deal in June, and I spoke to people, and they don't know. Nobody knows, and they're angry. From my understanding, you're supposed to do a community impact report on these things, and I haven't seen any of those.
So does your council person come out and do, like, town hall meetings and then tell y'all or tell the neighborhood association what's about to happen, or is that not happening?
Well, I'd like to also, in this podcast, I'd like people to chime in or ask questions, because I need if you believe what I'm saying, then I need some co-signatures. But from my understanding, she and I've seen videos, and she'll be there, and the community will be asking her questions, and she'll leave. She'll leave in the middle of it.
You're taking it too fast. So you mean Elizabeth Beck, your current council person, District 9, will have a meeting for the community, and if the people in the community start asking her questions, she will leave in the middle of the meeting?
There's a video, and Ricardo Vitia, he has it, but it's a community meeting, and she leaves. Steve Chaco, I hope you're listening. He has receipts, and they're asking her important questions, and she's leaving in the middle of it. I think this time she said she had to count homeless. Maybe that was true, but she's upset the community. As far as I know, the Hispanic community is not happy with her. She's not hearing the voices of the 43% of her district, and that's why I'm.
43% is Latino?
Yes, ma'am. As of this year, 2023, used to be 39.
Wow. So 43% of District 9 is Latino.
Latino, yes, ma'am.
Very interesting. Did not know that.
Honestly, if you're going to represent, I didn't learn Spanish until I was 16 years old. English was my first language. But if you're going to represent an area, sometimes you have to meet people in halfway in their language. And that's just something to consider when making a decision on May 6th.
When she comes out to the community meetings, does she have an interpreter to be able to translate to her people, what people are saying who don't?
To be fair, I'm not sure. That's a good question. That's a good question. And a lot of these meetings are on video, so we'd have to go back. Okay. I think when if a Spanish speaking resident is going to go, they're most likely going to bring a translator. But that's a good question, and that's something I wouldn't have to have.
I would think though, if you're 43% of your district is Latino, then you would absolutely should bring with you someone who could interpret any question that anyone might have that maybe doesn't speak English or doesn't speak fluent English, so that you would at least understand them and they could understand you.
Wow. Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so you can relate. And,
okay. So when you say that the Hispanic people feel underserved, when they reach out to the current councilwoman's office, are they getting responses back? Or are the issues being resolved? Or what's happening with that?
Well, a lot of Latinos, they live to see tomorrow. So we're passive people. And so a lot of us just don't want to rock the boat just because culturally, you know, some of us are scared of, you know, law enforcement or, you know, just like first generation. And so a lot of them, you won't hear them call. I know that, they have an app where you can make a complaint on about a street or let people know. But for me, it's even me, I'm 43 years old. I don't sometimes want to download an app. I'd rather call and speak to a real person. And some Spanish speaking people or elderly might have a hard time downloading that app. Some might just want to speak to someone like we used to. And new technology isn't always good. But my question is that if people work for the city, don't they see these streets that need to be fixed? I mean, and that's fine if we need to call or let them know on an app. But don't we have city workers that drive through the streets to see what trees need to be cut, what streets need to be fixed?
And I agree with you. City workers, I would think if they're out there every day, that they should see some of these areas that have issues. But since we know that your council person will probably be listening to tonight's show, let's talk about some of those streets. What streets are issues that you have seen personally that no one has addressed?
Well, there's a street. It's on West Dixon and Merida, and it's forgotten. There's potholes everywhere. Every time it rains, it floods the street on the corner. It looks like there's a pole that's leaning on the side of the street. Been there for at least a year.
Wow.
It's Martin Sprockets is behind there, and he's tried to clean out the drain so the rain will go somewhere. People legally dump. That's one road. If there's a chunk of them, it's right here off of Bittison between McCart and Hemphill, and and most of those streets. And there's some streets over here off of 6th Avenue and 5th Avenue, between Hemphill and 8th Avenue. And we just have to fix our infrastructure. I believe that that we have to take care of that before we worry about growing, inviting more companies here. I do believe we need to take care of our infrastructure first.
Well, we're talking about District 9. Are we talking about a situation where we are looking at people who are not documented, so therefore, you know, unseen, unheard, or are we talking about taxpaying people who are registered in the system and, you know, should be able and afforded every right that everyone else is? Not that I'm saying people who are not, but y'all, I hope y'all understand what I'm saying. I'm saying that these.
Yeah, I do.
You get what I'm saying. So sometimes people think, well, okay, they're not residents, so, you know, their issues don't matter. But are we talking about 43% of this population that is mostly documented? Or
I would say maybe one third are like that, but most, you know, most Tejanos, that's like I'm fifth generation Tejanos, a lot of them have already always been here. This was maybe less than 200 years ago, 1836. This was Tejas y Coahuila, Coahuila y Tejas. So a lot of them have been here, and like for instance, I didn't know Spanish till 16. I learned, but I think I wish I knew. I think it's an older generation that says, hey, don't vote, because we're the sleeping giant and we don't vote either. But, you know, some people just think, well, why say anything? Nothing's going to happen. They're not going to do anything. But I believe there's a shift, and a lot of the sons and daughters of Southside are getting involved, and we're starting to run because we need to be the voice for the voiceless. We need to be, a voice for the forgotten. But, you know, also in here where I live, where it was District 6, it's going to be turning District 9 now. We have roads over here, too, that have failed right here off of Alta Mesa. And there's a street called Alava in Santiago. And I've met my neighbors because they wanted to get together, because we're reaching out to the city council in District 6. Every time it rains, our curb, it's collapsed, and mosquitoes are in there, and then it creates moss. My daughter slipped on it. I've seen people slip outside when they're walking their dogs. So, but a majority of it, I would say it's in the Latino neighborhood.
Jared Williams in District 6 was not addressing his issues either?
He's District 6. Now he is. And I actually reached out to him also, me and my neighbor Lewis. And we reached out to Jungus Jordan, too, before. It didn't happen. We did reach out. And it's okay, because this is the way people, regular, everyday citizens get involved. This is how it happens. It happens just like this. You know, we're trying to make a change. We're trying to get things done. And sometimes we say, you know what, darn it, I'll run and I'll try to make sure I make it happen. And it's okay. On my street, it was the same situation. We're trying to get our street fixed. And there was a guy named Big John. I've met a lot. And that's how I meet a lot of my neighbors. We have a common, we have a common cause. And we're just trying to better our neighborhood.
So, one-third of this 43% you believe is undocumented, which therefore means they're probably not voting. So you think that's a reason where
I'm sure there's a situation. You know, a lot of times I'll go to people, because I go to these houses and I knock on the doors, and some just don't want to rock the boat. They don't, you know, they're not going to say anything. And sometimes it's almost told to the grandkids, you know, hey, you know, growing up, I was always told you can't turn on the light inside the car. My mom always said, Jason, you can't have the light on while you drive. We're driving, you're getting me arrested. And I really thought, I don't know where she got that, but it's almost the same mentality. It's like, you know, you don't want to rock the boat, but, you know, this new generation, I've noticed we're bold. We're going to speak boldly, and I want to make sure that it's clean and safe, like it was when me and my sister and my wife were growing up here. We used to ride our bikes until the streetlights came on, and so I just want to make sure that we keep it like that.
Well, we know that Jared Williams recently addressed an issue on a street in his district where I think a husband and wife was killed because the lanes were, I guess, a little, not properly constructed. And so therefore it made it like a dead man, you know, curve or whatever. That's the way I took it. So that said, you told me about an issue of dealing with a bike lane on Hip Hill that causes problems or something like that.
Yes. Harry, we have a bike lane on Hemp Hill Street, and so there used to be two lanes going north, two lanes going south on Hemp Hill Street, and one day you go outside and it's gone, and I was looking at everyone and said, hey, did you guys know about this? No. And so I walked all up and down Hemp Hill Street, and I spoke to the residents, and everybody says they don't like it, but they put a bike lane on Hemp Hill Street, and it stopped business by 50%. A lot of these businesses are residents that have been here for 20, 30, 40 years, and they've seen a decline in their business because now they went from two roads to one. And at 5 o'clock, it gets congested. You hear people saying there's accidents. We have a Mexican ice cream man. We call him the paletero. Even he's not crazy enough to drive down that road. People get impatient. They drive around. And so the neighborhood, the community, if I win, I'm going to take that bike lane off. I'd like the city to start getting more community input, but it's only paint. It's not going to be a lot of work. It's not going to waste a lot of tax dollars, but I really want to revitalize that road and bring back businesses that, you know, for them to flourish. I know a friend who has a barbershop. They said, Jason, he said, I haven't seen the customers I used to see because nobody wants to drive down this road anymore.
Did anybody bring that to the current councilwoman's attention?
Oh, absolutely. A lot of people have. A lot of people speak up, and their voices just aren't heard. I know that things are starting to turn. And in Jesus' name, I really do pray that I get to represent District 9. But a buddy of mine, Ricardo Vita, he's running for District 11. It's called Hemp Hill No Se Vende. It means Hemp Hill's not for sale. And they were trying to change the zoning out there, and he just saw a lot of apartments being put up and right next to small homes, and we were able to make our voice heard, and we were able to stop that. They're not going to change the zoning on a particular section of Hemp Hill, and we're happy about that, but that's the whole deal with me. The city hasn't been transparent. The lady who represents our district, she doesn't represent the community. If you do, then you would listen and to the concerns of the community. And I haven't seen that. And like I said, I encourage people to co-sign this and comment on this interview. Because it's the truth. Nobody wants that bike lane. Nobody uses it, and it's almost a slap in the face. Why wouldn't you put it on a back street? It doesn't make sense. Just make it make sense.
You know what, y'all heard him, and I'm going to open up the phone lines in just a second to Adrian and Christopher. But there's certain things I want to get out of the way before I do, because a lot of times when multiple people start talking, you lose your focus, and it's just several things I want to be clear on. I just heard you say in Jesus' name, which kind of gives me the impression you're a Christian, and I understand that there have been some candidates that are being accused. Something called a mercy cult, and that they're part of a mercy cult. And I understand that you are one of those candidates. So can you address that and let us know what that means?
Yeah, sure. It's a church I visited a few times. It's called Mercy Culture. And when I first started, they compared me with a gentleman named Steve Panatti. It's because maybe we're Hispanic. We have our last names are pretty close. And he was just a regular guy, and he ran for mayor and got a lot of people to vote for him. And so whenever I first decided to run, I said, hey, you know, maybe I should ask him, you know, get some advice. And so he is co-founder of Mercy Culture. And I went to visit one day without my wife. We go to a small church called Spirit of Truth Ministries. We're members. That's where our ties go. Mark Wilkfond. Pastor. And so after church, I told my wife I was going to go check out the second service, and I went by myself, and I thought it was pretty good. And I brought my wife the next week, and I went. But I've spoken to Steve Panatti a few times. He's a great guy. But I've been going to, it's called Life Church, for 7 years, Craig Rochelle. And that's off of Granbury Road in Rissinger. And then I would go to Bible studies on Tuesdays at a church called Spirit of Truth Ministries. It's a smaller church. And I felt like God told me, I want you to start attending this church. Your tithes will make a bigger impact. And that's where I go. I plan on going there Sunday. I told my pastor, you know, if I'm going to be running, I need to go to different churches, and I need to let them know what's going on and get their vote so some people, different congregations, they go to different churches. So any church that is around District 9 or I hear that there's residents in District 9 that go to this church, I'm going to visit. And I'm going to, I'm going to talk to the pastor and see if he'll let me speak. I was able to go to a Southside on Hemphill Church and speak. And I was able to go to Teaching Word of Faith off of 35 and speak. So, I'm making my rounds.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not a member. I'm not a member. But, yes, I visited a few times. And I heard the rumor, but, it's not the truth. So, I love the Lord. And if they're preaching the gospel and they're using the Bible, I'm going to check it out.
So y'all heard it here. He said he's not mm-hmm. a member of the Mercy cult, and he is aware of the rumor, but it's just a rumor.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. You know, the incumbent, a lot of people say is very intelligent, but she's made some mistakes, clearly. Most of them are documented. I posted one in which she said, y'all, and I'm going to try to be tactful when I say this, but the gist of what she said in the video that I posted on the Let's Talk Fort Worth Facebook page today, or yesterday, I don't remember, yesterday, I'm sorry, Elizabeth Beck said that, she was advocating for feminine products to be put in the women's restroom, and she said that women and men have menstrual cycles. How shocked were you when you heard the incumbent say that?
I was. Just because I was looking at the two young ladies from Pascal that were there, it was a special moment for them. And they were advocating for, feminine products in the women's bathrooms. And me and my mm-hmm. wife were there. And when she said, let's not forget, men can have menstrual cycles too. I looked at my wife and she looked at me and she grabbed my hand and she said, Jason, it's time. It's time. I want you to run. Everybody has their lifestyle. I don't believe it's right to indoctrinate our children, but my culture, if you know anything about Latino culture, and you mm-hmm. shouldn't be surprised if you know anything about my culture, where we believe in God, whether it's we're Catholic or Christian. We're big mm-hmm. on family. We believe in the nuclear family. Mm-hmm. We believe in hard work. And mm-hmm. a lot of us believe in right to bear arms. And so, it's not surprising that I would feel this way because I'm culturally conservative. I don't believe in that, and I believe that's Cocoa Puffs. It's ridiculous. And so
Cocoa Puffs.
So I was shocked, to say the least.
Okay, I bet a whole bunch of folks were shocked because y'all listen. I got a couple of brothers, and I know a lot of guys, and I just ain't never seen that. But anyway, we moving on. I'm going to get to these last couple of questions before I get to Adrian and
okay.
Kristen have questions for you. First of all, are you for a citizens review board?
If whatever the citizens want, I don't want to make it hard on police officers, but if there's bad police officers out there, we have to hold them mm-hmm. accountable. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to have these conversations after the fact, after something bad happens. I want to make mm-hmm. sure that the law enforcement has to build the trust from the community. And a lot of times, you can get they have to just get out there and speak to the residents. If that's what the community wants, then I would have to respect it. I personally want to make it easier for them to do their job. But if people are getting shot in their home or if things are happening, and if the community says that, well, then we'll have to make a vote. But, it's a real delicate issue. And there's a lot of conversations that need to be made And, you know, now the police officers have to build the trust again. And I think that if they consider endorsing local people that are from the community, I think that would be a good step too, because I would be the voice. I would be the link between the community and law enforcement. Somebody who was brought up here that knows the experience of being born in District 9.
That's a great segue. So would you take endorsement and campaign donations from the POA, the Fort Worth Police Officers Association?
You know, this is how much I had reached out to the fire department, you know, and I reached out to the police department because I was wanting their endorsement. I didn't know it came with a bunch of money. I was just, you know, and for me, I'm thinking, okay, I'm talking to a bunch of guys, and I'm asking, you know, a bunch of guys that are police officers, hey, can I get your vote? Because I know police officers in this area. I grew up with them. I went to school with them. But I reached out to them. I extended the olive branch. They chose someone else, which is fine. But when I thought about it, I said, you know, and you explained it to me. You gave me a different perspective on it. Sometimes, you know, people are look down on us, say, hey, you know, you're taking money from, you know, from an organization that sometimes people have felt like that they can't trust. I would take their votes. Any regular Joe is a police officer, I would love your vote. But I don't have to have their money. I don't have to have the endorsement of the fire department. But I was a little maybe naive to, after, you know, you told me, you said, you know what, you're getting money from them. And I made a sign that said that I'm endorsed by the community. And I hope that the people know that I speak for them, and I know their experience. I've been there. And, you know, it is what it is. They didn't give me the endorsement, but at the end of the day, I said, it's okay. You know what? I don't need that. I'm going to get my endorsements from Joe the mechanic, from, you know, small business owners, from people in the community. So I'm content. And I hope people, when they see my campaign report, that they see that a lot of the money I've gotten was from blue-collar workers. And that's what I want people to know, that I'm endorsed by the community.
Okay.
You know, I reached out. I had a phone number with Jimmy, the Police Officers Association. I reached out to him a few times, but, you know, it is what it is.
All right, y'all. We're going to go open up the phone lines for Christopher and Adrian. Good evening, y'all.
Good evening, Carrie. Hey, Jason.
Good evening, everyone.
How you doing, brother?
You want to go first, Adrian?
You got it, Chris. You got it.
Okay. Really, you answered a lot of the you're very versed, like in what's exigent in District 9, District 6, that little area, and what there's just, it's kind of crazy. And you know, you grew up here. I'm a little bit older than you, but I do know the historical background, and so the question that I was going to say is, would you say that the feeling in your community is that Elizabeth Beck and this would probably apply to another candidate too that's running with Bogus, and then there was somebody by the name of Taylor Mondick that was getting involved. And if you profile these specific individuals, you're kind of getting this thing, and it's a big problem because we've talked about these issues that are going on, and the underserved and the forgotten, and District 9, and you could say District 11, however it's gerrymandered, District 6, these three districts over the history of Fort Worth, I mean, if you really know, this thing that people are scared to talk about is a word called gentrification.
Mm-hmm.
And because they kind of take a racial note and everything like that,
mm-hmm.
but really
mm-hmm.
it's a class thing, it's a control thing.
Mm-hmm.
If you study the history
mm-hmm.
of gentrification, it's 14th
mm-hmm.
century Europe. It has anyway. I'm not getting get into the
mm-hmm.
but it's so. The question I have is, do you think the feeling of the people that you're seeking to represent feel like the representation that they're getting from Elizabeth Beck is completely detached from the reality that the representation and duty as the council member in District 9 extends beyond the downtown high-class condominium constituency
mm.
and the gentrified neighborhoods like Rosemont
mm.
and in the hospital district and stuff?
Yeah, that's a great question. I absolutely. I'm knitted in this community, so I hear. And no, I have to say, I was the very first one. I'm running because I have my family lives here. I have more skin in the game, you know, pun intended. I have
right.
my sister lives here. My mom lives here. My cousins live here. My family and friends live here. I care about this community. And
right.
I have a passion for it. I was the very first right. one on the very first day to decide to run for City Council District 9. Taylor
right.
never ran. He put his treasury in there. Pamela,
right.
she didn't decide to run until the very last day and the last hours. So that's
yeah.
just something to consider. Was she told? Did somebody tell her to run?
Mm-hmm.
People, and I'm just going to give an analogy. People like that movie, The Avatar, and
yeah.
it's about the Na'vi, the natives, and they live here on this planet, and these people are coming to take their resources, and the
mm-hmm.
Na'vi, the natives, they're just trying to protect their world, their town, their city,
mm-hmm.
and if you like that movie, well, hey, this is the real thing. This is what's really going on. I'm the same way. I try to stay away from that word gentrification, but you know what? What am I going to – I mean, am I going to not believe my lying eyes? I see what's going on. Things
exactly.
don't make sense.
And I feel it's in your heart. You do – if you grew up here and you've articulated some things that are going on. And so I'm 49. I'm 48. You're 43, so you might not know. But if you know the history of these areas, the seminary, La Grande Plaza, that was
mm-hmm.
the first
Johnson.
That was the first super mall that we had in Tarrant County before Northeast, before Ridgemar.
Uh-huh.
Seminary
wow.
South was the Sears. It was the happening spot.
Yeah.
And
mm-hmm.
if you remember, I think when you were growing up in the Pasco area, this area
mm-hmm.
where a lot of District 9 is, the hospital district. And then coming east from the hospital district, Hemp Hill, Rosedale, that was a heavily black area, you
mm-hmm.
know.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
so
oh, yeah.
this is where you say the lion eyes. And so this is what I would say that the Hispanic people, and we're having an election, a conversation about election, and I truly hope that you can win and get traction. But
yeah.
It might be time to upgrade the No Se Vende and get out there and get a massive movement behind that, because this is what's happening to the Hispanics now, because they
mm-hmm.
wiped all of the blacks out of those communities and forced
mm-hmm.
them over east or wherever.
Mm-hmm.
And now
mm-hmm.
you're seeing the same thing from
mm-hmm.
where the hospital it started.
Mm-hmm.
You remember where Bluff Street was?
Okay, Chris.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Chris.
Yeah, 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 yeah. I'll be done with it.
Yeah. Well, I do agree with them. Look, and you know, and that's another thing. I can't do this without the black vote. You know, if you're listening,
right.
you know, just consider voting for me. You know, you guys are my cousins, and unfortunately, I wish my people got out there and voted more. But I tell you, you know, when I grew up here, I grew up with everybody. We were just all poor. You know, I grew up with
yeah.
poor Cambodians, you know, and some poor whites, poor blacks, my neighbors. But I can't do it without everyone's vote. I can't, and I'm asking for your vote. You know, specifically on here. Well, I mean, the Latinos, they already know. Hey, you know, vote for Jason, but don't vote for me because I'm competent and you know and I'm best for the job. But you know, I encourage you know black voters consider me, and voting for me because I can't do it without you. I need your help.
Hey.
Okay, we got two questions.
Hey,
Jason.
Okay,
Adrian.
Okay. Oh, you got two questions, Carrie?
No, you and then someone else. Go ahead.
Okay, yeah, I'll be real brief. Hey, Jason, first of all, I want to say salute for your desire to serve,
you know, the
constituents of the now, you said, because you were district, the new District 9, that it would be.
Yeah.
But thank you for your desire to serve not only District 9, but
you.
Just serve in the capacity of Fort Worth. So real quick question. One quick observation. You had stated something regarding being in District 6. And a question came up about the current council member, Jerry Williams, and a past council member, you know, the things that they probably failed to do. And you have made a statement, but that's all right. I just want to tell you this. I just want to say this. Just observation. You don't have to speak. Just observation on my part. If it was all right, you wouldn't be where you are now. So do not apologize for whatever they didn't do. You know what I'm saying? If it was all right, you wouldn't be where you are. So. Remember that. Going forward, you don't have to apologize for anything. If you're trying to make things better for the people that sit in that community. And check this out. Real quick question. You say you're a business owner. I want to know, and you don't have to put a dollar amount, just a quick question. Do you know, rather, yourself directly or any businesses within that community that you're aware of, did you all receive any of the federal funding that was mandated by the American Rescue Act plan? Not none of that PPP y'all had to do. I'm talking about money that was sent to this city specifically to help this city and small business. Did you receive any? You don't have to put a dollar, man. Just a yes or no. I'm just trying
no,
to see what
no,
this city
no.
is.
No, I
okay.
thank you. I thank you. I'm going to answer, and I appreciate your questions, Adrian. I do. And, you know, I'll tell you, the reason I said it's all right, because I thought in hindsight, I said, well, what if I'm in his position? You know, I have to give him a little bit of grace because this is his first term, and I hope that I'm a good councilman. So that's why. But you're right. You're right. I wouldn't be in the situation. God works in mysterious ways. I wouldn't be in the situation unless that had happened. So you're absolutely right on that. I received no loans. I don't know any. I think we have a customer, and he said that his friend, and he's from, I think, Russia, and he said his friend had gotten some, but I personally, I don't know anybody who's gotten any. I don't. And maybe we should have made it easier. Sometimes I have a problem with the way the city conducts their, you know, where they give you heads up on agendas. I wish they would make it easier, maybe put a sign, maybe a billboard somewhere where people can see this. And almost not do just the minimum of getting that resource out. But I
okay, y'all, we got to get to one more question before you get out of here tonight. 682-250. Good evening. You're on Let's Talk Fort Worth. 682-250. Hello. Last call. 682-250. Okay. Obviously. Hello, 682-250.
Hello. Somebody, ask me anything you want, guys. I had nothing done.
Okay, 682-250, last call.
Hello.
Okay. I'm not. Uh-huh.
Hello. Yes, sir.
Peace and power, Sister Carrie.
Peace and power.
Yeah, I was just listening to Brother Pena.
Yes, sir.
And, trying to, I never heard of him, and trying to find a little bit more about him.
I appreciate you. Yes, sir.
What are your specific goals that you want to conquer in your district, as far as things that you see that's not happening and that need to happen to solidify your district?
I appreciate that. That's a good question, and I agree with you, man. I'm an outsider. A lot of people don't know who I am. The things I've been doing out here has been on a micro level. When me and my wife, we've had a few community events in the parking lot of our insurance agency. About 3 years ago, we gave out some, we got some businesses together, and we put our money together and bought hundreds of backpacks with supplies, gave them to children. Year after that, there was a massacre in El Paso. They needed a lot of blood. We got the parking lot pull up. People were able to pull up and give blood. And then recently we had a community event at our new location. So I can understand. I'm known around, you know, South Side and Southwest, but not on a big level. And what I plan on doing is bringing a new perspective to Fort Worth. We have a homeless problem out here, and the way I want to solve it is I don't want to give them a fish. I want to teach them to fish. I went out to a homeless camp about 3 weeks ago by myself, and I spoke to the homeless. I even have it on video on my campaign page. And I just asked them, how'd you get here? How can we get you out of here? And a lot of them said they got there from COVID, and the reason they were homeless is because they lost their driver's license, their birth certificates, their IDs, and they're having a hard time getting it. And I can understand that. Sometimes when I call these city phone numbers, I'm automated systems. They want you to jump through this, that, and the other, and we have to make it easier for them to be able to get that information so they can get a job. Half of them are content where they're at. So I'd like to start programs and giving them their resources easier and getting their hope back. As far as the taxes, I want to stop wasteful spending. We spend a lot of our tax dollars. Sometimes they go to things. Just for instance, they were wanting to spend $3 million on the city on new cars, and $30 million, and $10 million on equipment, and I think that's, you know, we're spending $256 million on moving into this new tower. It's called the Pier 1 Import Tower, and for me, I think that we don't need that. I feel like some of these city council members want to be celebrities and they forgot to be servants. So I don't want to spend our money on that. I want to lower taxes by, we have a lot, people keep on talking about how we have a lot of growth coming in Fort Worth. All these companies want to move down here. You know, honestly, why do we have to keep up with the Joneses? We need to slow down growth. We need to, and if companies want to come in, we need to not give them tax breaks. We need to make them pay for their own infrastructure, their own roads. Because we end up, as a taxpayer, have to pay for that. You know, as far as the crime, I believe that we need to keep. You know, I know the YMCA does a good job, and the Ronald McDonald Home do a good job. But we need to have more resources, Big Brother programs, some programs for kids. I know whenever I grew up, I went to the Boys Club. It was like 25 cents to get in. You know, I go to these community centers now, and they want you to be a member, like $200 a month. These need to be almost free for kids to come out. So I just want to bring another perspective when I go in there. I plan on shaking things up. I want to know why things are not getting done and where our money's going. I'm not going in for anything else to be a judge. When I decide to run, I'm going to stay at the level I am in the community, and I'm always going to be here no matter what.
I got one quick question, and it'll have a quick answer. No speech with it.
Chris.
Yeah, do you feel – yeah.
Please, man. Look, man, we're going to have to reel you in, Chris. Every time a candidate got something to say, Chris, that's not for you to interject all the time, Chris. We're on the time.
Well, I'm going to ask a question. Do you think one of the first priorities for the new city council coming in could be to take a look at getting rid of David Cook?
Oh, you know, yeah, you know what? Hey, he's questionable. And here's another thing, too. I appreciate that. But I need hardball questions, too. I need you guys to even test my patience, test my character, because people aren't always going to love me. So it's okay. I can handle whatever you give me, and I need that. But David Cook, you know what? Honestly, he's questionable. I saw how he took that trip. With the people of Sundance, and now he's kicked out of something, but it's questionable on him. If we're gonna get these people, you know, as city managers or city council or anybody we have up there, we have to hold them at a higher standard. And if we have to get rid of somebody, well, then we have to do it. It's not personal; it's business.
Yeah,
and that's what I want. I want everyone on here. You always hold me accountable. I have people I've asked for endorsements, and they tell me, hey, don't let us down. And I appreciate that. I appreciate that because This is I need people to, I need my brothers and sisters to hold me accountable.
Right. So listen, in our final 5 minutes of the show, tell people how they can get in touch with you if they want to basically, let's just say, volunteer.
They can call me.
Right.
Well, you can go to my website at Jason for Fort Worth.com. You can find me on Facebook, Jason for Fort Worth on Facebook. You can call me. You can call me. My campaign number is 817-501-8041. 501-8041. You can email me. I'm an open book. I'll speak to you. If I don't answer, I'm on the phone. Leave a message. But I'm available. I'd love to talk to you. My wife right now is helping me plan some, meet and greets where we can have some coffee. She wants me to buy the whole bucket at the whole pot. I'm just going to sit and drink some coffee. Come on in and I'll buy you coffee. But we're working the details on that. But you can always reach me on Facebook. You can reach me on my email. It's Jason for F-O-R, Fort, that's F-T, Worth, at gmail.com. And God bless you guys. And I appreciate the questions. I do. And I love the energy. I love it. And honestly, that makes me happy because people care.
Thank you. And the last 4 minutes of the show, tell them why they should vote for Jason Pena.
All right, well, vote for me because I can handle stress. I know this is, I have a lot of work to do, and I'm going to be the voice for all people. And I do believe that we have been neglected out here. We've been underserved, and I plan on shaking things up. I'm not part of the elites. I'm an outsider, just like that gentleman said. He said, nobody's heard of me. And you're right. I haven't been out there politicking. I'm out here in the community. But if you vote for me, it's a vote against the establishment. I've had both people tell me to get out. They said, Jason, you don't have any money, Jason. Nobody knows you. You don't have any endorsements. But I have God, and I love the Lord, and I'm capable. Me and my wife, we have a small business, and I know how to handle books. We have employees. I know how to work as a team. And I'm teachable, and I'll be the voice for you. I'm going to bring everyone's voice to the center when it comes to decision making. And God bless you guys. I'm born and raised right here in this area, and I just appreciate you giving me the time today. Thank you, Carrie.
Thank you, Jason. Y'all, that was Jason Pena running in District 9 against the incumbent Councilwoman Elizabeth Beck. He brought a lot to the table tonight, y'all. So go check him out on Facebook. He has, I think, several Facebook pages where you can find out more information. He gave you his number, how you can reach out to him. So, again, consider my next guest is W. McKinley Jackson, and he's getting a message, y'all, that says that he's going to be charged 1 cent a minute. Now, he didn't have that problem last week, y'all, but that's how the devil works. So what we're going to have to do is we're going to have to call him. But see how things go? Now, last week, no problem. This week, we got a problem. So let me see if I can figure out how to merge him in. Let's try this. The devil is busy already, y'all. So we know how this next hour is going to go. Let's see if we can reach him on the phone line. Can you hear me?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Okay, yes, we can. All right, y'all, on the phone lines, we got W. McKinley Jackson. Now, Pastor, last week you didn't have any problems getting in. You see how the devil works?
Yeah, somebody's going to charge me 1 cent a minute. I'm like, oh, no, in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Ain't going to be on an hour, too.
You know what? The devil is busy. No, that happens to some people, but the problem is it didn't happen to you last week. So I'm trying to figure out how did it happen this week, but you see how things go.
Right.
Okay, so we're good. So, Pastor, you're back this week. You were on last week. And we know that you came on and you told us for 2 hours your reason for running and a lot of things about what was going on in the district and how someone had shot up your house. And then we saw where the Fort Worth Weekly decided to do an article on you. And basically, it seemed like they took everything that was said on the show and kind of tweaked it to put you in a bad light. Do you agree with that?
Definitely.
Wow.
I do.
Let me ask you this. The things that they said in the article, was that anything like what you had told the reporter?
No.
Wow.
No. No. They took what I said, twisted it, you know, to make a good, juicy story.
Oh, wow. People
do things for ratings and things that make it without the respect, you know, of the person that they're doing it to, and having, you know, no empathy or anything like that as relates to what they're going through, you know.
Right. And y'all, let's start again because things kind of went off the rail just a little bit because when I saw Pastor McKinley sending me the message saying that he was going to be charged one cent a minute, I did not give him a proper introduction. This is W. McKinley Jackson, who is running to be the next council person in District 5 against the incumbent, Gina Bivens. And so there's been a lot of negative press that was recently released in the Fort Worth Report, I'm sorry, about the pastor. Now, Pastor, you know, the thing is, the article, let's start with the title. You want to tell us how inaccurate the title was of that particular article?
Yes. Well, the title is very, very deceiving because it looks like I've been disqualified. Mm-hmm. And so I've had quite a few people to call me and text me, people that don't even read this newspaper. It ain't the Star Telegram. So it goes to show you that the intent, she reached, you know, her goal to take a look at their paper. She did it for ratings, and she succeeded because this article has spread it all throughout, you know, the city of Fort Worth.
Mm-hmm. And the article...
Go ahead.
The article said that you were ineligible to run based on a police report and a homestead. So let's dive into the fact that the part about being ineligible is incorrect.
Yes. She tried to hit me with a 1-2 punch to say that I was ineligible. One, according to the police report, which the police report itself was all based on hearsay.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was inaccurate, you know. And then what she quoted about the homestead was inaccurate too.
Mm-hmm. So let's talk about that. Let's dive into that police report. The police report basically tells a story that you had not lived at that residence for 6 months. Is that something that you told that police officer that night?
No, I did not. He seemed to have been somewhat convinced by the neighbor. He told me that the neighbor said it. I never even met the neighbor because when I come in, you know, I have long days and short night, but he didn't say what neighbor it was or who it was, but I corrected him and said, no, it's not true. You know, I was having a little work done, and of course they could only estimate, you know, if I was there or when I am there. So it was all speculation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but the thing of it is, you know, I had been living there for quite some time, you know, and to say that would be very inaccurate.
And the house, I understand, was, again, y'all, and we went over this for anybody who listened last week. They talking about the same thing. Well, y'all, we're going back there for a reason. You know, the house was under, was being renovated due to, I believe, a leak or something in the roof and caused the roof to cave in or something to that effect.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I had been out of town and I had come in and the roof had caved in and the house was just in disrepair. And by that time, you know, being gone that long, there were rodents and all kind of things. And so we needed to get everything out the house and fix the roof and then bomb the house. And the guy said, I'm going to bomb it twice.
Mm-hmm.
And so he did. And we was in the process of putting stuff back in the house when the house got shut up.
Mm-hmm. So the report also mentions an address that you did not give the officer. We understand you, or what I understood you to say last week, rather, is that you told the officer, this is my residence. You gave him driver's license that said, that showed the same address. However, the police report reflected a different address.
Right. Right.
So where did he get that address from?
The only way he could have gotten that address is that he had to. I was sitting there scratching my head trying to figure out why is another address on this police report.
Mm-hmm.
And it dawned on me what he asked me when I got ready to leave. He asked me to sit still for a little bit, and they went over to the cruiser or whatever, and so the light came on. He ran my tag.
Now,
that was the only way.
So the tags would have shown another address.
Yes.
Gotcha. Now we understand the house incident had been done in the wee hours of the morning. However, the police did not come until sometime the night of that day.
Uh huh.
Wow. So when you were talking to him, it's almost the next day.
Right.
Right. Okay, so it's night time outside. And so he tells you to sit still while he flashes his light on your tag.
Yes, while they're running. And I had cut my car on, so my car's lit up. And so, you know, I have a light that shines on the tag. So they still know they're running the tag.
Okay, gotcha. Now, I was told, and you're going to have to confirm this, or I think I remember you said, I'm getting, because y'all listen, I've been working on this story so long, I'm forgetting who told me what. But was a city employee present while the police was there at night doing the police report?
Yes, that's what allegedly has been told to me by more than one person.
So how would the city have known to be there about a police report that was about a shooting that took place in the wee hours of the morning?
I would like to know that myself.
Okay. So did you tell the police at all who you were and that you were running for office?
I did. And maybe I shouldn't have, but I did.
Mm-hmm.
I did. And I expressed, because I was hurt at the time, and I did, you know, tell him that I, you know, that who I was and that what I was running for, and that I felt like it was politically motivated.
Mm-hmm. So, for anybody who's lost in the story, let's just say the shooting is in the wee hours of the a.m., like the 3 or 4 o'clock a.m., and a neighbor who you do not know, allegedly, according to the police, told them that they saw who did it and that the person had shot the house up before. Was that factual?
No, but I talked to the managers of the property, and they said that, you know, they had been managing that property for 10 years.
and that the house had never been shattered before. In fact, they alluded to, because we walked through the house together, and they was in awe. They said, in fact, they had never even seen a house shot up like that before. And he went on to say after that, he strongly felt that I was targeted. Mm. Who sits there and just shoots 30 rounds? And I was reading part of that report from the Fort Worth Reporter. Now they even went up, they shot it up to 50 rounds. So I don't know if that was in the police report or not, you know.
Yes, 50. Wow. Okay, so the Fort Worth Reporter said it was 50 rounds instead of 30 rounds.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, Pastor, you know, another thing, I understand that your schedule is not typical in that you are someone who comes in late and leaves early. So are you familiar with who your neighbors are, and are they familiar with you?
No. I've seen them, in passing. That's about it. They've seen. And perhaps not knowing who I really am, because we've never formally introduced ourselves.
Mm-hmm. So let's deal with the dual residency, because that's a big question mark for a lot of people. Pastor, I understand that having a dual residence between you and Dr. Mrs. Jackson is something that did not just start, that you've lived in Memphis, in fact, and also had a residence here. So this isn't something that you all have just started doing. Did I lose the pastor? Okay. I'm not sure what happened. Pastor Jackson, are you with us? Pastor, can you hear me? Okay, I'm not sure what happened. Y'all, I'm scared to touch any button right now. Pastor Jackson, can you hear me? I am not sure what just happened. Okay, y'all, let's see. These things happen. Let me figure out what happened to Pastor Jackson. Pastor, can you hear me? This is odd. Y'all, the phone shows the pastor is still on it. The line is still open. However, I'm not sure what's going on with the phone line. Pastor Jackson, can you hear me? I cannot hear him say anything right now, y'all. Oh, the devil is so busy. Well, y'all, what y'all gonna hear me do? Which is something y'all ain't never heard me do before. I bind you, Satan, in the name of Jesus. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to call on my angels to deal with whatever this is that's going on with these phone lines. Okay. We're going to merge him back in. Okay, Pastor, can you hear me?
Hello?
Can you hear me?
I can now.
I'm not sure what happened. Did you just, I could see the phone line was still open, but I couldn't hear you.
Yeah, it went, and I had my wife on here too. Are we still on the air?
We are still on the air. Let me check. Everything is going ziggity boom right now. We are still live. So yes, sir, we are.
Okay. All right. Great. And I have my wife on too.
Okay. Hi, Dr. and Mrs. Jackson. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
I am great. Thank you so much for being with us tonight. And I apologize for last week, because this very same time, y'all, Pastor was on the air in the middle of his 16-year-old son's school event. So I do apologize for that. And I got y'all back here again this week. But Dr. and Mrs. Jackson, you know, this thing is really taking on a life of its own. But explain to the people who may be confused about the dual residency and how that's something that you and Pastor Jackson have done for a while. And if it's okay with you, it should be okay with everyone else.
Yeah, I mean, it's not hard to understand because we, we have a home here outside of Benbrook. Mm-hmm. which we moved here back in 2006 from where we were living in Beaumont. Mm-hmm. And when we moved here, I started a practice in Granbury. So that's where, you know, my office is. That's where my medical practice is. I've been there for 16 years. Mm-hmm. But, you know, practicing there and being and living here, you know, there's been times during our marriage where we've had to, you know, have separate living situations. Like during the time he was pastoring in Memphis, you know, he was in Memphis and, you know, I was still here at home with the kids because our kids were in school, my practice was here, and just, you know, the timing just didn't work out for me to move there. And then after a while, he got called back to Fort Worth, so, you know, he came back home.
Mm-hmm.
But him having a home in Stop 6 on the east side is a sacrifice that we chose to make with our living situation so that, you know, he could be of service to the people in Stop 6 because his church is in that neighborhood. You know, it's an area that he grew up and, you know, and I still have the home here, you know, in Fort Worth, but outside of Benbrook. So, you know, we've been able to make it work. I mean, it's not, I mean, I don't know if it seems unusual to other people, but, I mean, for us, it's, you know, it's worked out well. Like I said, it's a sacrifice that he and I have chosen to make so that I can serve my patients in Granbury and he can serve his church and the people in Stop 6 and then the east side.
Well, Dr. Jackson, please clarify for all these people who put your beautiful home, by the way, all over the report. They are confused in saying that that homestead is Pastor Jackson's. That is not Pastor Jackson's home. That's your home, correct?
Correct. It is.
Mm-hmm. Y'all. So people who don't understand mortgage and deeds, you cannot be on a homestead if you're not on a deed. And Pastor Jackson is not on that deed, correct?
That's correct. So if they had, you know, if they just looked at the facts, whoever did the looking up and all of it, they would have had to look up my name to, you know, if they looked at the address, then what they would saw was my name, Penelope Jackson, on the homestead for the, you know, the county tax assessors. And, you know, anything associated with that home, with that address, will have my name only on it.
Okay, for all those people who spread rumors, listen, Dr. Jackson just said it all straight for y'all. Dr. Jackson, is there anything else you want to clear up for these folks who are all in y'all business?
Well, I mean, I think this was a distractor away from what the real issue is. And the real issue is, you know, my husband is running for the city council seat for District 5, and, you know, he's making this tremendous effort to, you know, be of service to District 5 and to the people there. That's what this is all about. So that's what brought about, you know, all of this mayhem and nonsense that we've had over the past couple of months with his house being shot up and, you know, now with this, you know, article in this, you know, random newspaper online that showed up just, you know, with a lot of inaccurate facts. You know, it all boils down to this all came about because he's running. He's running with a purpose. He's running, you know, with a vision for District 5. And, you know, that's the problem because there's some people that are in power that don't want to see change happen, that want to keep the status quo. They want things to stay the same, and they're scared because there is a change that very likely and very possibly that can come. And so, you know, when people are scared, they do desperate things. But, you know, it doesn't change the fact that he is still on the ballot, in the third spot. So come April 24th, when early voting begins and everybody goes out to vote, they'll see his name and they'll have the chance to vote for him. And if they, you know, if they make the right choice, they'll vote for him, and hopefully on May 6th we'll have victory.
Wow. You know, Dr. Jackson, another thing I want to address is that they drug your 16-year-old son in, who I understand is very intelligent, However, he's autistic. And they said that the house was shot up due to him being in a gang. And so that had something to do with it. What were your thoughts when you heard that?
Yeah, well, it's the craziest bit of nonsense I've ever heard, because if anyone knows, we call our son Jack, if anybody knows Jack, they know there's not a fiber in his being that's anything close to being a gangster or gang-related or any, I mean, he knows nothing about that life, not a thing. So it was just, it was silliness to me, just pure nonsense.
Y'all listen, y'all heard it right here with the exclusive with Dr. Penelope Jackson. Dr. Jackson, thank you so much for taking the time out tonight to set the record straight on anybody who was confused about anything. I thought, y'all, it would humanize the story just a little bit, because so many people, it's so easy to let your imagination roam when you hear the other side, the better half. And so I just thought tonight bringing you on would humanize this story a whole lot.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you for having me on.
Thank you, Dr. Jackson.
And our son, he's you know, he has a poem that I was interrupted, you know, didn't get a chance to. Yeah, he, because I was on your show, and he was doing his talent show last weekend. He wrote a really beautiful poem.
Well, where is Jack? Will Jack talk to us tonight?
Hello, how are you doing?
Hey, Jack, how are you? Pleased to meet you.
I'm doing good.
So I, first of all, want to apologize because I had your dad on the show last night explaining all this stuff. We're going back over again tonight, so I apologize for having him come on in the middle of your event last week. So
Oh, I said it's okay.
Okay. So he probably missed you reading the poem that you read. Do you mind reading it to us tonight?
Oh, yes, ma'am. I got you.
Okay.
Okay, so the title of this poem that I typed, that I've written, is called Flying by Myself.
Mm-hmm.
And this is how it goes.
Okay.
Waking up at 2 a.m., feeling exhausted deep inside, although there is a little bit of excitement, knowing I get to see my best friend. Packing my suitcase in the car, headed straight for the airport. Hearing the silent streets as we drive, as my thoughts awaken in my mind. I feel the power of excitement while walking into the airport. As all my emotions run through my body, nothing can describe what I was feeling. Anxiously waiting to get through security, watching the people stress around me. Hoping to get through the line, waiting. Waiting to get my breakfast sandwich, wishing time would just go by faster. Thinking about all the memories I'm about to make, finally boarding the plane. Flight seemed like it went on forever, landing and aborting. There stands Gabe's best friend on my way to see, or there stands Gabe's father on my way to see my best friend.
Okay.
Oh, and also my best friend's name is Gabe. So I forgot to add it to my poem.
Mr. Jack, thank you so much for coming on tonight. I think you, again, put another layer onto this story. That does not sound like a young man that's a part of any gang, y'all. I'm just saying, beautiful poem, Jack. Very well done. Thank you so much for being a part of the show tonight.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. Woo! Pastor Jackson. Wow. That is crazy. So, I mean, for anybody who put anything on Jack, y'all got that wrong, Jack. Sorry, that is incredible. Wow, I'm almost in tears, y'all. So we set the record straight about the homestead. Anybody confused about the homestead? We just set the record straight on Jack. For anybody who's confused about Jack, we just set the record straight on Dr. Mrs. Penelope Jackson. Anybody's confused about that? Pastor, let's talk about this criminal record that they said that you have. The criminal record. Let's talk about the criminal record.
You know, whenever somebody does something like this, I mean, you know, I'm running a clean race. You know, I'm not throwing no dirt. You know, I'm not doing any of that. You know,
And, you know, but to, you know, defame somebody, you know, they're throwing everything and the kitchen sink.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I had gotten all kinds of calls,
mm-hmm.
you know, that, you know, that this was a discussion.
Mm-hmm.
Even downtown at City Hall.
Wow.
Yeah. And you know, and I'm gonna let you in on it. It was a discussion, and on the third floor was the city council, where the chamber is.
Mm.
You know, it,
about
and
the
it came. Yes.
Okay.
That I had a criminal. You know, and here's the thing: you have to be careful about what you say. I've learned that because
uh-huh.
once it comes out of your mouth, you can't control where it goes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so I just kept listening, and then it became a reality. You know, they were, they Googled. I'm not the only person named William McKinley Jackson in the world.
Mm-hmm.
They Googled somebody, and they, you know, they thought that they had me and thought that they could get me disqualified that way. And I got a call while they were having the meeting.
Mm-hmm.
To get me to talk about it, somebody who's friends with them, you know, they was trying to get me kicked off the ballot, only to discover that when they ran my name, they got some other folks that were running in other districts for other districts, got them kicked off the ballot.
Mm.
But I told them, I don't have a felony, I haven't been arrested, you know, and so when that didn't happen, you know, now we're dealing with this mayhem of I'm ineligible, you know, because of a homestead and because of I've been out of the house, you know, for been out of the house over 6 months. When at the end of the day, I've been vetted by the city attorney and the city secretary.
Mm.
I'm still on the ballot. You know, I'm number three. The city ain't bothered about it because, like I said, everything that they have thrown at me has been a hearsay. You know, so they've gone through all types of things to try to get me out of this race. And so now, once again, there are people thinking that I've been disqualified because of this horrible news report that the Fort Worth report has put out on me, you know, and it's just so untrue, and it's unfair. But you know, hey, I'm gonna take it in stride, and I'm gonna keep running my race because I'm still in fight.
Pastor, let me ask something about this criminal record. Did a mugshot come with the record? Did anybody find a mugshot of the other William McKinley Jackson?
They was going to make it be me.
That's funny. I mean, was he the same? Was he the same age as you? Did he look like you?
I heard he wasn't even the same age as me, but they were still going to try it and did try it. And so once they figured out that it wasn't me and I wasn't disqualified, that's when they attached it to my son. When the house got shut.
But this person was arrested by the Fort Worth Police Department.
I don't even know. I don't even think the young man, he wasn't even in Fort Worth.
Oh, wow. That's funny. I thought it was the Fort Worth Police Department. That puts a whole other layer on. So they just went and found another William McKinley Jackson in anywhere. Okay, gotcha. Wow.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Wow. Are you going to ask the Fort Worth report to revise their story to state that, you know, in fact, a lot of the things that they said in there were inaccurate?
Of course I'm going to ask them to.
Okay. Okay. Wow.
Yeah. I'm definitely going to. Because they're trying to make me look like I'm dishonest, like I'm a hypocrite, and that, you know, I have, so I guess she called herself, you know, pulling the cover off of me, you know. And I'm not understanding what do she feel that she has to gain by doing this.
You know, Pastor, one of the things that you told me that was very disturbing, and it didn't hit me until after the pre-interview, y'all, when Pastor Jackson told me that the mattress had a bullet hole in it, and that's when I realized had he been at the house, he could have been killed. Pastor, was that, I mean, how disturbing was it when you noticed that the mattress had a bullet in it?
Exactly. So to say that the house was vacant and had not been lived in, I even imagine that, and I mentioned this last time on the show, when there are people working in the house, I'm there every day checking the mail. And by the way, I never told you this. You know, it got to where somebody was going in my mailbox, getting my mail. So much so that I went around to the post office, you know, to ask, you know, while they were working on the house, when I wasn't able to live there, I was definitely by there. Now, put no mail missing before I file, run, you know. So I can understand how they didn't know the house. But, I had some furniture in there when the house got shot up, including my bed. Now, the bullet, they shot it from the outside, so it came through the inside wall, through the living room. My master bedroom was on the other side of the living room, so when it went through the living room, it went through the headboard of my bed and landed on a mattress.
Wow.
That's just one of the bullets. Another went through and went straight on out the back, to the backyard.
Do you still, you know, we talked last week about, are you in fear for your life? Do you still fear for your life in this situation?
Yeah, I do. I fear for my life, but, you know, I'm not going to let anybody scare me out of this race. Now, I do fear for my life, and, but I'm running for a cause. You know, there is neglect in our neighborhood. There are so many unanswered questions and neglect as it relates to the people. So I cannot allow this to shift my focus. Yeah, I fear for my life. You know, because I sleep in that bed. I didn't get rid of it. I sleep in that bed.
Wow.
And by the way, we even tonight on this interview, I'm in Fort Worth. My wife is in Denver.
Wow. And you know, the thing is, someone brought to my attention, and I hadn't thought about it when I saw the article, that by putting the other residents that has nothing to do with this race in that article, that they're putting your family in danger.
Yes, you know that is so rude and inconsiderate. Why would you, you know, put, if they didn't shot at one house, why would you put the other house on the front? That don't make sense.
It doesn't. I mean, not if it's just about journalism. And then the fact, again, y'all, if for anybody who does not understand real estate, if you're not a part of a deed, you are not ever able to be a part of a homestead. It just does not happen. So the fact that you were not connected to the title at all does not make any sense that they would, you know, mention the house at all.
It was a cheap shot because if you, and you had a valid point, because somebody is associated with an address don't mean that they're on the deed or the title. You're absolutely correct. You know, and so that's what she did. She judged me on association, but not fact. There's a difference between association and fact. And so, you know, my that's my wife's private residence. She just exposed it to everybody.
Yeah. And that was unfair. And y'all, Fort Worth Report, y'all owe them a redaction of
yeah.
the parts of the story that were not correct, because it's just not fair. I mean, and if anything happens to them, then that puts them in a bad spot.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly.
But we need the blood of Jesus, and we cancel that. We ain't gonna even think like that. But yeah, yeah. But we know that the devil is busy, and that just shouldn't have never happened.
Right. So
yeah.
At the end of the day, Karen, those were real bullets that went through the house. Those were real bullets. So there was no BB gun. You know, there was some high-powered guns.
Well, let me ask you this then. Since the neighbor had cameras that caught the car, has the police come to you and told you that they had any suspects?
No. And they was able to pull from the camera that it was a black SUV, and they pulled up and just shot up the house and then pulled off.
Wow.
You know, but they stayed there long enough to empty two clips.
But the neighbor alleged that they had been there before. Did they have a date in which or a time frame in which they knew of the same people coming and shooting up the house before?
No, and see, I'm assuming that that came out of the Fort Worth report. I guess they called the police, the investigators, whatever. But that's what they said, the neighbor said or whatever, or whoever said.
But the neighbor has never come to you and said, neighbors typically would do, hey, I saw this or I saw that. They never came to you and did that.
Right, exactly. And the owner and the landlord, the property manager, said the house has never been shot up.
Oh, my.
It's so much, you know, stuff that's not right, you know, that's being said, so much confusion. I believe that the owner would know if this house has been shot up or not. Yeah, and so he says it has never been shot up before. And with that in mind, the manager, the property manager, said to me as we were walking through the house with bullet holes, I was showing it, you know, there's not an area of that house that does not have bullet holes in it.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
So they sprayed it, you know. I mean, all through the bathroom, bathtub, the bedrooms, the stove. I mean, the kitchen, everywhere. You know, the back door, the window, everywhere. And so he said to me, he said, sir, you were targeted. He said, nobody does this. You were targeted, you know. And I tend to believe that I was, because if his house has never been shot at before, and I've never been shot at before, you know, and it's very coincidental that I'm running for an office, and all of a sudden, out of, you know, the years I've lived in Fort Worth since the 70s, out of all the years I've been in Fort Worth, you mean tell me that nobody's never shot at me or, you know, done anything malicious toward me until I ran for an office? That's too coincidental.
Okay. And didn't you say on the last show that someone who represented or appeared to represent themselves as a private investigator went to the owner's house in another city and asked questions about you and whether or not you were actually renting that house?
They did. And the owner told it. And they told the owner they didn't believe it. So
So he pulls out, you know, my lease and tells them, hey, I don't know what else to tell you. He pays rent every month.
Mm.
Now, I deal with the man, but he lived there, you know.
Was the house shot up before they went there or after they went there?
After they went there.
Oh, yeah. Wait, I'm sorry. You see, oh, my God. That one went by me and came back. So the house was shot up after someone who represented themselves as a private investigator went to the owner of the house's home in another city, and I believe it was Alito. And so then after that, the house was shot up?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, wow.
It all seems, you know, to follow a pattern. You think about it. They didn't shoot the house up first and then say, I've been to jail. You know, they thought they had me on. He can't run because of the felon. That got canceled out. After that, they want to verify if I live there or not. So they did, and it comes back that I do live there. Well, then the house comes shot up mysteriously, and then all of a sudden, this six-month thing. And so I called when I got wind that that it was in the police report because it came back to my account, my campaign, that I didn't live, hadn't lived in there for 6 months, and that the Benbrook address was on there. So I called the number that the called the policeman left me, and I asked the policeman. I asked him, you know, about the police report, and he read that line. I said, okay, why do people keep saying that I didn't live in the last 6 months? I said, that's what the neighbor said. I said that's not accurate. That's not true. And I want to know what could be done about the police report. And he point blank told me that they wouldn't change it. He said he gave him a number I could call and they'll add to. But they wouldn't change it. So that kind of tells me, you know, that, hey, you know, that can be misinterpreted information out there, but if it makes it to a police report, that is not going to change, even if it's not true.
Very interesting. And, y'all, yesterday I attended an event that Gina Bivens, the current incumbent, and Pastor Jackson were a part of. And I saw Gina Bivens leaving the event. I think some of y'all caught that on camera because I was live and she was exiting the building. And because she did not know that I was live, I did cut the camera off because I don't believe in misrepresenting to anybody that they're not on an interview. But I did ask her some questions about Pastor McKinley's situation, and she stated that she did not have anything to do with his house being shot up, nor did she know people who shoot up houses. She alleges that, you know, she did not. So I'm going to, you know, at least put that out there. She did say that yesterday, that she didn't. But, Pastor, what are your thoughts on that? Do you believe that it's connected to the incumbent at all?
I feel, once again, that this was not coincidental. It was not an accident. Somebody had my house. And I was just, you know, I was throwing it out there. Let me just give you the public opinion. They feel, because, you know, the incumbent has more to lose than anybody else. I don't have to say it. They are saying it.
Wow.
You know, and they you know, some of them feel that way, you know, and because they say it's too coincidental. It's too... No, this is no accident, you know. They wasn't driving by fast. They stopped
the car. You know, and stood there and shot that house up like that. And then for the police report to come out the way it did in Akron, you know, but I'm glad that the city did not succumb to this foolishness that I'm still running, I'm still in the race, I'm still on the ballot, you know. And I've been vetted. I've been vetted by the city. And they're good with it. But yes, that's what, that's the views of the public opinion, you know, and I just feel like it's dirty. I feel like it's dirty politics, and I really think that it was politically motivated, you know, and those are my thoughts. If I was doing something like that, of course I wouldn't admit it.
Okay. My co-host has some questions, and they're constantly asking me, saying, let me in. So I'm going to go to Adrian. I'm going to go to Adrian, and I'm going to go to Christopher. All right, Adrian, you're up.
Yeah, I'll be brief, Carrie. I know the time is winding down. First of all, salute to your Pastor Jackson. Thank you for your desire to serve. I believe you will serve the constituents of – What it be now? The new District 5, right? Still District 5? I believe, yeah, you will serve them. You know, I believe you will serve them to the best, you know, that they need to serve. Salute to your wife and salute to your son. Now, just a quick observation of this story, y'all. It's amazing how the Fort Worth Report was able to get a redacted police report because they had some things. If you're gonna report news, you got to report it all. You know what I'm saying? You took the time to get a report redacted information, but you didn't take time out to get the to wait for the body camera. You're a news agency. Also, you took time out to get photo ops of another property to have a story. You know what I'm saying? But you didn't take time out to get the body camera. My observation is this, Ms. Bivens. And Ms. Bivens, if any of your people listening, y'all know where to find me. I'll be there Tuesday night. I will be there. Not hard to find. Listen, if you can weaponize, and I'm going to say this, Mr. Jackson, she's guilty of weaponizing. Yeah. She's not the only one. This council has been guilty of weaponizing the city council against their constituents. Case in point, Mr. Bob Willoughby. Mr. Bob Willoughby. She has used her position. She has weaponized her position against a man who has been a thorn in her side since she's been on that council. And he has every right to be a thorn in her side. But she had that man removed from a public town hall discussion. She had him removed from that. Yeah, it was her doing. They trespassed this man from a public event. You know what I'm saying? And I know it was all because of Ms. Bivens. She gave a nod to do so. So, yes, Ms. Bivens, Adrian Devine Smith, yes, you know who I am. Yes, you weaponized your position against your constituents. Good luck on your race, but trust me, people will get out and vote, and hopefully this will be the last we will see you on the dais. And Mr. Jackson, I'm going to say this one thing. I'm going to get my plugs in. Adrian Devine Smith. I am running. I'm one of the candidates running for mayor. All right. So look here, one of your faithful members. I think it's Miss Gibson. You got the Gibson family there.
Yeah.
At your church in the area, Miss Deborah Gibson, her brother, which is my buddy, my partner, my friend. He goes down at the Rising Star Church of God in Christ, where I used to fellowship at. Hey,
yeah.
Just remember my name. Y'all remember my name, Adrian Devine Smith. Let your people know. I need support. All I'm looking for is votes. You know what I'm saying? I'm trying to serve the people of Fort Worth just like you're trying to serve. Thank you, sir, for what you're doing.
Yeah.
Continue forward and don't be swayed by this incident. And last but not least, y'all, 4 in the morning, we know anything. Ain't nobody up at 4 in the morning. So anything. Oh, last thing, Carrie, I'm going to stop on this. How did they close the investigation? This is an ongoing investigation. How did it close so fast? I'm through, Carrie. You can put me back on the queue. Thank you.
Shameless plug. Christopher, you got any questions for Pastor?
Hey, Pastor, this is Chris. I you know, we've hashed out the details. You've made your case, and it stands on the merit of facts. But I want to get whoever's listening and the show and everybody in this city to understand that this is this issue that happened with you, okay,
mm-hmm.
is a police department issue, because we gotta step back and we gotta understand. You kind of touched on it. Carrie kind of prompted you, and we kind of touched on this issue of the Fort Worth report doing all of this stuff. But listen, we've heard this mumbo jumbo about how competent and professional and protecting and serving that this police department is, okay? And I don't hate all police officers, but this is a leadership issue, okay? This is a leadership issue, and I would encourage you to go toe-to-toe and ask Neil Noakes for a sit-down, and I want you to ask him how competent is for your public affairs officer, Mr. Corporal J.D. Johnson, who is, I believe, the son of a former county commissioner in Precinct 4, working for the police department. How is he going to come out with an unsolved crime where you, and the police department even communicated that you were targeted? These were 7.62 millimeter rounds from an AK-47, and it wasn't 30 rounds, it was 50 rounds. 49 is the number of casings. So two guns came in empty clips on your house, and they got the police department. We can knock on the Fort Worth reporter all day, but it is the police department's responsibility to serve and protect. And when they release your wife's name, where she works, what her profession is, where she has another house at, right?
Right.
And all of this stuff like that, that is unprecedented, and that's the cause for litigation, because that's endangering your family. And it was the police department. And we can sit there and tie it to, we can say who it was that encouraged it or prompted it or this, that, whatever, but this just follows the narrative. Bob Willoughby was removed by the snap of a woman's fingers, forcefully, by the police department of Fort Worth, by the snap of a particular woman's finger, said, get him gone. And they came and snatched him up and bumped him out of that room. And now you've got this police department that you've been shot. It's 3 weeks later, and now they're telling who they don't tell you who it is. And I'm going to tell you what else. If they got a ring camera, a surveillance video camera of a vehicle, and there's any kind of resolution, and they talk about this technology shit that they have, they can put a profile. Mm-hmm. They can do a scan of that picture. They can download that into this flock camera spy network that they have, and they can track that. They can see at 4:30 at the next intersection down the way, they can review these cameras, and they can find out who it was if they wanted to. There is something deadly wrong.
Right.
And you need to go,
right.
And you need to force Neil Noakes to reprimand that public affairs officer for putting your business out there, because that was a danger
right.
to your family. I'm serious.
Right. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yes.
I agree. Pastor, you know, and another thing, y'all, for people who say that, you know, Carrie, this show and last week's show is totally one-sided, and you didn't bring Gina Bivens on the show. By the way, that was another thing. So that I was balanced in reporting on this story, I did ask the current incumbent councilwoman, Mayor Pro Tem Gina Bivens, will you come on the show? And y'all, her answer was absolutely not. So I did do due diligence to provide balance in this reporting, but the councilwoman and Mayor Pro Tem said absolutely not. So it is what it is. Pastor, in closing, tell people how they can reach out to you if they like to, you know, donate to your campaign, be a part of your campaign, that type of thing.
I'll do that, but before I do that, let me just make it very, very clear that on any given day of the week, I don't care what time, I would love to debate Gina Bivens.
Ooh.
I would love to, and I don't think it's going to happen, you know, because there's a lot of unrestlessness in the district, a lot of things that we can talk about, a lot of things. And, you know, so I just want, you know, to make that known. Some people feel like I've been kind of, you know, laid back, but I'm out here grinding and getting out signs and meeting people, meeting with neighborhood associations, you know, things of that nature. And I'm hearing the cries of the people. Mm. And I respect her, you know. I have nothing against her. I have nothing bad to say about anybody, but I would love, you know, to debate, and we'll see what happens, you know. But hey, reach out to me at mjackson5.com, mjackson5.com, and if y'all not doing anything tomorrow at 1, come on by 4000 East Berry Street. We're going to have a big old Easter egg hunt. I'm going to be out there shaking hands and loving on people in the community like we always do. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, we're going to have Easter Bunny out there. We're going to have pony rides. We're going to have mechanical bull. We're going to have game trucks. We're going to have bounce houses. We're going to have food trucks, all kinds of, you know, games and things out there on tomorrow.
Mm, wow. Pastor, tell them in the last 4 minutes of the show why they should vote for W. McKinley Jackson.
They should vote for W. McKinley Jackson because I am a young man with a vision, with a heart for the people, a heart for the community, and I'm dedicated to moving District 5 forward. I'm dedicated to having safer neighborhoods so things won't happen to other people like happened to me, like getting your house shot up. You know, I'm to have a safer neighborhood so that our families can be safe, our streets can be safe. You know, I'm running to have economic development. We need jobs. We need our young couples, young people to move back to District 5. The other thing that we did not talk about is that Karen and Cummins is gentrifying that area. People mm-hmm. like my mom and others are going to be in trouble because the apartments that are going up right there on the corner of Rosedale and Sawcup for seniors is not low to moderate.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, so that's going to make taxes high, and you're going to have the desired income to live there. So it's not for people that live in our neighborhood. It's not going to be for people who are black and brown, you know. And so they're diversifying our neighborhood, not diversifying, sorry, gentrifying our neighborhood. Mm-hmm. And so they're you know, they're moving us out. So I'm running lastly for accountability and leadership, and I plan on bringing jobs back. I plan on developing the Arlington Lake. I plan on doing something about the flooding that you know, people are dying with flooding and all that kind of stuff. And so mm-hmm. I'm looking to bring our neighborhood so that we can look like the West Side, so we can mm-hmm. have white neighborhoods, I mean restaurants and things of that nature. So that's why I'm running.
Wow. Y'all, that was W. McKinley Jackson running in District 5 against the incumbent, Gina Bivens. So I'd like to say thank you to Jason Pena and W. McKinley Jackson, Dr. Mrs. Penelope Jackson, and Jack for stopping by tonight. Y'all, so listen, y'all, the schedule, y'all, for this election is the last day to apply for a ballot by mail is April 25th. The last day to register to vote is April 6th. Early voting begins April 24th, and it runs through May 2nd, and we all know that election day is May 6th. Also, y'all, listen, follow us on Facebook. Our Let's Talk Facebook page is always jumping. Something always hot and fluid going on over there on that page. Also, consider advertising with us if you have a product, a service, a campaign, a business, a product, again, a service, a campaign. Consider advertising right here on Let's Talk Fort Worth and also on our Facebook page. And we want to remind you to keep it locked right here on Let's Talk Fort Worth every Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. as we do what we do. All right, y'all, until next week, good night.